The next speaker is Sofia Olascuaga from Mexico. She will talk, the title of her talk is Between Utopia and Failure. Sofia works in the intersections of art and education by activating spaces for critical thinking and collective action through museum education, artistic practice and curatorial initiatives. She seeks to engage in productive ways of questioning and experimenting on art's social role. Sofia is a curatorial research fellow at Independent Curators International, and she attended the Wittner Independence Study Program in 2010. Between Utopia and Failure is an active research project in progress, assessing the productive tension of intentional community models developed in Mexico in past decades. The project traces the work and influence of the radical thinker Ivan Illich and the role the model he developed has played in practice in many Mexican international thinkers and artists. For this panel, it is of interest whether Illich's known opposition against the institutionalization of education and the institutionalization of society could be read as a possible starting point for a de-institutionalized society. And yeah, Sofia, please.
So it's been clear now that it's a work in progress, and Utopia and Failure addresses these models for utopian communities that, as Oliver said, were created between the 50s and 80s in Cuernavaca, which is a small city that's located around 80 kilometers south of Mexico City. I'm interested in reassessing them, not from a nostalgic point of view, but as a critical exercise, acknowledging the contradictions and the possibility of learning through these past experiences. So in a way, it's looking back as an attempt to respond to the present as well, without ignoring the contradictions that are present. It started as a personal exploration of the experience of growing up in a community project in Cuernavaca, La Comunidad, which was put together by my family and along with other families. And it existed between 82 and 87. It involved a 15-year-long previous process of conceiving, exploring, and activating different projects and dynamics that led to create this communal life project, similar to what else were being described before, with elements such as a 100% shared economy, a communal living space, a decision-making process based in consensus, and a very intense and constant reflection on the sense of community and the individual growth within it. And they developed a highly efficient work efficient system as well, and an integral formative program on community and organizational development that became also a financially sustainable model. Although brief, it was highly prolific, and it generated projects and formative spaces that still work today, although they're run by new groups and members. It dissolved after 5.5 years, generating a sort of collective divorce, dramatic split, which then led to a blockage of the experience and enhancing its possibility, the impossibility to reconcile what were the extremes of, on the one hand, idealizing the experience or discarding it because of its complete failure. So I found that this was a productive tension and that there lied a chance to reassess the experience from a critical point of view. And also from my need to understand it from a more informed perspective and how the different operative elements were put together, conflicts, and the causes for its eventual dissolution. So one of the things that I learned after these interviews, because I had a very sort of childish and not informed memory of it, and I realized I needed to update it and have a more sort of adult way of approaching it, but also because it was linked to my own beliefs and practices. And one of the things that I found interesting was that one of the members, founding members, said they reached a level of perfection that made it unbearable to continue. So in a way, they were so rigorous trying to achieve the kind of envisionings they were having all of this time that they were in love with their model, and they were unable to transform it when it stopped working. As I expanded the research, I decided to focus on three earlier experiences that had happened in Cuernavaca, also, but a much three decades before, between the 50s and the 60s, and that were articulated through the coincidence of three key figures at the time. I might need to make a parenthesis and say that for some reason, Cuernavaca is commonly known as the city of eternal spring, and its reason is that it has a really beautiful weather. And I say it because the gardens grow very easily, and in a way, this kind of a paradise kind of garden becomes an ideal backdrop for project utopian envisionings. And it has been, in fact, the setting for a number of social laboratories since the pre-Columbine times. Now, in the early 60s, the figures of Ivan Illich, who's at the center, Gregorio Lemercier on the right, and Sergio Mendez Arceo, coincided in Cuernavaca. And each of them developed specific initiatives of experimental communities with emphasis in different fields. Illich, an Austrian philosopher, was the founder of SIDOC, a center for intercultural documentation, which became a research gathering point for intellectuals, left activists, and academics from different parts of the world who would visit constantly the center to participate in very active discussions. Among the better known are Eric Fromm, Paulo Freire, Peter Berger, Paul Goodman, Susan Sontag, among many others, who were attracted by the radical critiques of modern society and the notion of, and the critique of the notion of progress and the role of institutions that were at the center of Illich's critiques. And also got involved generating proposals on education, the distribution of energy and resources, work, health, that seek to abolish the cycles of dependency in the types of relationships generated by these institutions around management of services in society. Now, what I found really interesting here is the model of collective discussion and lines of inquiry that generated at SIDOC, an activity of knowledge exchange and collective thought, which involved continuous dialogues triggered by Illich's polemic charisma, that was also challenged by a range of interdisciplinary and international thinkers like the ones I mentioned before. Now, these discussions were registered very quickly and published in a matter of days in this kind of publication that you can see at the right, which was a kind of a journal that was handmade, just published right after, and which would include these discussions, and then would some of them would be reapproached through more in-depth and longer seminars, generating statements that then Illich would circulate as drafts among different colleagues, and to get specific feedback, and then eventually would be formally published as finished books. So among his better-known works are Discoding Society, Medical Nemesis on the Expropriation of Health, Alternatives, Tools for Conviviality, and I'm sure you might know many more. Now, they decided to close, Illich and his collaborators decided to close SIDOC in 1976 on their 10th anniversary, after discussing the center's own institutionalization. And after that, he became an itinerant scholar and continued expanding a network through his visits to the US, different universities, and also in other parts of the world. The second character, if you remember from the picture on the right side, Gregorio Lemercier, founded and directed the Benedictine Monastery of Santa Maria de la Resurrección in Morelos. And it sought to create a self-sustainable model based in work and community relationships, but in the search of a more authentic form of communication between the members that would allow to break hierarchical structures and discuss contradictions within the monastic life. In this search, Lemercier became acquainted with Eric Fromm, who was visiting Illich at SIDOC in Cuernavaca at the time. And through this relationship, the monastery started a pioneer process, controversial pioneer process, I should say, of collective psychoanalysis led by Fromm and a group of his disciples, as they were known in Mexico. Now, this intense experiment carried on for 8 years and addressed patriarchal relationships, power dynamics, sexuality, and faith crisis among the members of that community. The process, of course, scandalized the Vatican, and Lemercier was finally excommunicated and forced to choose between religion or psychoanalysis. He chose psychoanalysis and later founded a center called Emmaus, which continued to develop a community engagement with psychoanalysis at its core, along with some of the members of the original community. Now, Reconfiguring the sense of community was reflected also in the creation of architectural and graphic languages by some of the members of the community, which sought to transform the verticality and hierarchy of the center's architecture and incorporate horizontal and more circular arrangements for rituals and encounters, and also elements such as food and music for their kind of gathering. So this is the image that we're looking at. It's the chapel of Santa Maria della Risorgenza. Now the third figure, Sergio Mendes Arceo, was the Bishop of Cuernavaca, a highly polemic character who was popularly labeled as the Red Bishop because of his leftist inclinations by the more conservative centers. Mendes Arceo was a lead promoter of theology of liberation in Mexico, and he initiated a national movement known as Comunidades Eclesiales de Base, which created a model of community organization that was energetically active and politically participatory in workers' movements, indigenous rights, land ownerships, and others of a leftist dimension. Now, Mendes Arceo promoted as well one of the first centers for feminist studies founded by Betsy Collins, who was also a former visitor of Ada Milich, in Cuernavaca, which is known under the name CIDAD. And as part of this link with the architectural transformation, Mendes Arceo was part of the initiators of other artists collaborating in this aesthetic sort of renovation, such as Matias Gerentz, among many others. Now, 68 and 69 were the years of explicit rupture and confrontation between these initiatives and the Vatican authorities in different processes. And along with Mexican government, they all made sure to have them erased from official narratives as much as possible. Now, there is a level of radicality that it's hard to associate today to the political agenda of the Catholic Church, at least for me. And I find problematic and controversial, but also interesting to think of it in terms precisely of the notion of contradictions. Now, while I'm less interested in making an actual historical research of this particular period, and more in addressing the influence and the resonance that these three figures and their initiatives have had in subsequent generations. This unregistered genealogy traces 50 years of social movements in Mexico in a way, and includes protagonists who are active until nowadays. So I think about this more as a kind of effective genealogy, not as a historical tracing. And I'm interested in how these different initiatives are alive in groups that are not necessarily explicitly connected, but that include movements in education, psychoanalysis, social movements, and also cultural production. My interest in addressing this is, again, a kind of balance, critical balance between utopia and failure, trying to generate the kind of international, intergenerational links and dialogues that have been broken by the lack of historical registers, and try to think about these not in from a nostalgic point of view, again, not as a way of reproducing them or replicating them, but thinking about how it might be relevant to think of these experiences as a way of responding to today's complexity, at least in Mexico. So I'm going to go very quickly over a few of the collaborators that I've been talking to. This is Abraham Cruz Villegas. I would say, just to summarize because of time, that there is a number of direct participants, scholars who have focused in a few of these or fragments of these histories, but also different generations such as mine in a way who have in a way inherited kind of like the resonances and also the consequences of these initiatives. So one of these is Abraham Cruz Villegas, who's a mid-career artist, and he's been working on the notion of autoconstrucción or self-construction, and it's a very long-term research-based project that focuses on the history of the neighborhood where he grew up in Mexico City, Pedregal de Santo Domingo, which started as squatted lands by his family and other families that were part of the social movement that was initiated by the Bishop of Cuernavaca, part of the Comunidades Eclesiales de Base. Now, among many other things, it's a long project with a book, a film, a play. Abraham has been focusing in interviewing some of the original members and trying to link the original experiences to younger generations or thinking how that might be of relevance. And gathering some of the documents of those. Jimmy Durham is a an artist that is pretty well known, and he was actually in Silo, in Cuernavaca, in 74, when he was part of the American Indian Council. And that experience of being part of a leftist group and discussion led him to move to Cuernavaca later in 87 and 94. And in a way, his work, even though doesn't address directly this experience, is offering different critical points of view on notions of modernity. And a younger artist, just to give an example of my generation, is Naomi Rincón Gallardo, who has been working in the, she's an artist and an educator, who was also formed in the Freire Pedagogical Model School as part of this movement of active schools that were initiated by the direct participants of earlier generations. And she basically has been working on this project called Pirate Utopias, and it's a punk opera that reproduces or addresses the history of a punk collective that was active in Mexico for 15 years and then dissolved. Now, the way I'm thinking about addressing this, and that's why I said it's a work in progress, it hasn't happened, is I'm interested in generating an actual encounter to try to address a different sustained conversations modeled in a way or inspired of those working groups, but also registering these as a polyphonic process, addressing to, or attempting to create a constellation of the different experiences and perspectives, but also including dissensus and opposition or ways of addressing this story, but with the hope of being able to, through this affective genealogy, address common urgencies and the possibility to respond to them collaboratively. I'm hoping that after these, if there's enough resonance, there might be a public inscription and ideally somehow register for circulation that will make it accessible for the future in the form of a publication, film, or something like that. Now, I'm planning for this to happen in Cuernavaca, and it responds mainly to the urgence of reimagining social reality as a collective exercise. And I think of it in Cuernavaca because, as I said, there's hardly any records or ways of accessing what actually happened. And I think of the relevance of these experiences today in the face of the detail in which violence prevails in Mexico's daily life and how it's affected its disrupted social tissue. It is also in the framework of the presidential return of PRI, the ruling party who was in power for 81 years and then absent for 12, but now, this last month, actually this precise month, 2 weeks ago, officially back and already started to produce similar conditions to the ones that occurred when these original initiatives were put together. So even though it's a different context and I'm not trying to make it similar, I do think that it in a way makes more and more urgent the need to respond to alternative experiences and trying to rethink how to address them with these contradictions and not only with the utopian drive that you were talking about, but also acknowledging the learning and the failures from previous generations. Thank you.